Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
This morning in the scripture to begin in 1 Timothy 6:12, we're exhorted there. The Apostle Paul was writing a young minister, a young Christian really, Timothy, and he was telling him, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. And then a second thing, you're going to have to lay hold on eternal life. Did you know you can fight the good fight and not lay hold of anything and just be a good fighter? And I don't know about you, but I want to get the winnings if I'm going to go through the fight. Because in the fight, if I just take one hit, it's going to hurt. I like to limit how many times the enemy gets to me by one hit. He throws one punch and lands one. Well, that's going to be enough. I get evasive maneuvers. Did you know you have some evasive maneuvers built into you? Faith helps you not just fight the good fight, but to lay hold of the victory that you're supposed to get. Faith will always be challenged in the middle. I want to talk about that today, and I want to restore many of God's people get caught in the middle, where they're caught in a fight, and they're fighting and fighting and fighting, and it seems like a little bit of reprieve in the fight, and we can breathe again. Then there's another round. You know, the bell keeps ringing for another round. Well, I'm going to tell you, between the bells, lay hold on something. This morning, there's a supernatural anointing in the house. I'm just going to tell you what the Holy Spirit's speaking to my spirit. See, it's been confirmed already this morning, a supernatural anointing to lay hold of victory between the bells. So the first bell's just gone off and you're getting a little breather right now, all right? What does that mean? It means you're going to have a maneuver by faith that you're going to have to do. You know, I can't do it for you, but I can tell you how to do it. Isn't that what a good coach does? Says, you're going to have to do the exercises to get in shape, but I'll tell you what to do, right? Maybe even show you what to do. Maybe even motivate you to do it. But honestly, if we're going to live by faith, we've got to know how to win at it. You know, the Lord has been speaking to me for over a year now to teach you as much as I can on how to be better receivers from the Lord. Well, I could teach you all day about how to be a good fighter, but you know, that'll just get you beat up. You want to get something more than that. Now, it's sad that there has to be a fight at all, but there has to be. If you're going to live the life of faith, if you're going to trust God for His kind of life, if you're going to come to church and say, this experience with God is going to transform my life, there's one way to receive the transformation, and it's fight. But while you're fighting, lay hold on the promise of God. You don't get to the promise without there being resistance. Think of your enemy, the devil, as a foe that is out to give you a pounding and try to pound you enough to get you to not lay hold of anything. Did you know how you lay hold on eternal life to begin with? You hit him with something. You hit him with God's word and it sets him back. He says, uh-oh, they're one of those. And you want to get his attention that way. Why? He stops to think a minute and you can pummel him with God's word and he can decide you're not one whom he may devour at this time. Doesn't mean he won't try again, but if I'm going to get in a fight, whether I know it's coming or not, the devil doesn't approach you up front and say, Brother Rick, I'm here to torment you today. He might come head on to Brother Rick, but more likely he's going to sneak in kind of on a blind angle and just shock him and jolt him and try to get him off a little bit, try to get something other than God's word to come out of his mouth and into his mind. The enemy tries to surprise you, but you really have the element of shock on your side. The power of God is like an electric voltage going into him that sets him back. And he recognizes he's not dealing with just somebody in the world that's ignorant, but somebody that understands authority in Jesus' name. That doesn't mean we understand everything about the scripture. It means we understand one thing. There's authority in the name of Jesus to get us to lay hold of the victory instead of just taking a beating. I wish this morning I could tell you the Christian life will be free of any kind of conflict, problems, or fighting as you roll forward. But to tell you the truth, the greatest anointing of God in your life is to fight the good fight of faith so you can lay hold of the truth. Preaching the truth won't make you lay hold of it, but fighting the fight will. Why? It's in the trenches where we win the victory. It's not the commander out there. You know, Jesus won the victory for us. He said, I'm setting up a strategy that will work for you if you will fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of the truth at the same time. You're going to come out on top. Why? It's in that moment where we lay hold that resurrection begins to work, where we determine no matter what, we're going to get to the destination we're heading for. Now, I'm going to tell you to go where God's calling us to be as His glorious church. We've got to be willing to go through the paces of this fighting the good fight and laying hold at the same time and not get stuck in the middle. I want to talk about that middle ground today. Faith will work to take a hold of the intended destination, the shore of where we're going. We're going to join Jesus as He's entering into an object lesson, really, with His disciples. But before He does, He warns them what the anointing is for in their life. There will be a tangible anointing at the end of this service. See, how do you know that? Because the Holy Spirit said that's what He wants to do. Now, that doesn't mean we automatically get something because there's an anointing. We receive the anointing just like we receive the truth. We believe that we receive it. Say, well, I'm going to make that mine. What's the anointing? A little extra power to help you overcome the work of the enemy, whatever it might be. Now, we'll begin in Luke 8. This is verse 16. Jesus speaking to His disciples, and He said, no man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a candlestick. In other words, if God's going to do something in your life that brings light and anointing, He's not going to leave you in obscurity with that new light and anointing. He's going to put you up on top of a candlestick. The candlestick is a picture of what the anointing of God does with the truth in your life. It elevates the truth. The anointing of God this morning will elevate the truth that I'm about to teach you. And if you receive it through the teaching gift, then He'll minister to you yet other ways by His Holy Spirit. It isn't pastor, it's the Holy Spirit ministering. You see, He's the one with us in the earth. He's our helper, He's our comforter. He's the one called alongside to walk through life with us to make a difference. He doesn't like to. In fact, I'd say it this way. He's grieved when we make Him walk through life with us and we're taking a beating all the time. He wants to say, get your hands up. Make a fist. Open your mouth. Say the right thing. See, we can posture against the enemy physically or we can do it spiritually. And spiritually, we say something that makes all the difference. Now, no man, when he's lighted a candle, covers it up or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a candlestick. God wants your relationship with Him to elevate the light of God in the earth, to become an example of what winning looks like. Now, if you're going to be an example of what winning looks like, you're going to be an example of what a fight looks like for a while. You're going to have to learn how to, in the fight, in the middle of the battle, to lay hold on the truth. It's important. Now, they that enter in may see the light, for nothing is secret which shall not be made manifest. In other words, God's doing this on purpose to show Himself real. God wants to show up in the middle of the fight to convince you how real He is. He wants to show up in the middle of the fight to show others how real He is in your life. He wants you to be willing to commit to it in the middle of the fight. Instead of saying, man, am I going through it? Continue the sentence and don't stop there. But the victory is mine and I receive it in Jesus' name. And it's a matter of time that I'm going to be telling you what the victory looks like instead of what the fight feels like. And that's the testimony in advance that honors the Lord. Why? The Holy Spirit will show you something to come. Do you know what he always wants to show you? The end of the fight, if you fight the right fight. If you fight the fight of faith, he's going to show you in advance, you're going to win. You're going to get to the other side. You're going to see the destination that you set out for. You might experience a little delay called turmoil or raging in the middle, but you're going to come through and end up on top. Amen. Did you know the devil's not a respecter of persons? He'll fight you whether you're a Christian or not. That's what some baby Christians don't understand. They think, well, if Jesus won the fight, I don't have to fight anymore. No, now the fight counts for something. It counts for life eternal. It counts for laying hold of something. It counts for becoming a possessor of what God promised. You can hear and hear and hear the word and never get a thing. And it's not the preacher's fault. It's not God's fault. There's nobody to blame but looking at ourselves and saying, I've got to do the right thing and lay hold of something. Isn't it hard if you're fighting your best fight to get a hold of anything that's evading you? It's difficult. Ever had more than three kids to tend and they get into it and you're trying to separate them and stop the fight? What do? You lay hold on the greatest offender, don't you? Yeah, your mom knows right there. Four boys, she knows exactly what I'm talking about. You separate that one from the pack a little bit and everybody else. So sometimes you've got to see the fight in your life just like that. Nobody can do that for you. We can inspire it. We can tell you some moves, but you got to make those moves. Now, this is Jesus talking. He said, take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. This morning, if you hear this word right, you will seem to have inspiration to act in faith. I can get you that far. I can stir you up to decide, I'm going to do something about laying hold on eternal life and not just fighting, fighting, fighting all the time. I want to get a hold of the truth that's going to transform my life. I can get you that far. But if you don't act on it, if you don't take the light that God gives you this morning in the Word and put some anointing with it, put it on the candlestick of the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, let's elevate this truth in my life. Show me, illuminate my path before me. Show me what I need to know about this for me. Show me how to apply it in my life. Show me how to get out of the mess that I'm in. And you begin to elevate the name of Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm putting you first. I know that as I honor you, you're going to minister back to me. I'm going to do this piece of word that I heard Pastor say today, and you're going to help me be a doer of that word. That's the beginning of laying hold. That's saying that you're going to lay hold of it. That's claiming that you're going to get it. That's saying, I believe that I receive it so that I can have it. I'm going to get a hold of that truth now. You get a hold of it with your mouth before you ever get a hold of it in your heart. You have to say it. We confess the Lord Jesus every time we want to receive from him. But Jesus is illustrating something next. As soon as Jesus speaks to the disciples again and again, he illustrates that something happens. You can expect every time you hear the word and you go, oh, I understand that. Something's going to happen. All right? There's going to be some attack, some circumstance, some doubt and unbelief, some situation seem to come against you, and you're going to think, this is just normal life. This is what happens to people. But I'm here to tell you, there's spiritual forces at work that cause bad things to happen to people, Christian or not. Spiritual forces are at work. Now, Jesus is saying here, if we don't hear it right, we don't apply the truth right, if we don't use it, we're going to lose it. I want you to get that phrase in your heart. If I don't use it, I'm going to lose it. There is a sense of expiration on a word of the Lord, though his word endures forever. But the anointing on his word this morning, as you hear it, you've got to act on it, or it's going to flee away from you. You're going to be separated, some of you a few hours, some of you a day or two, some of you a few weeks, and there will be enough going on in your life to keep you preoccupied that you are no longer hearing this word resound in your ears, and what you seemed to get when you heard it this morning will flee away unless you lay hold on that life. I can't make an anointing last. The anointing is something God rubs off on you when he speaks his word. Then it's up to you to take action while he's all over you. My job is to bring God all over you this morning. Your job is to respond to what that does to you. It might put you under pressure. It might bring you under conviction. It might cause you to have great joy and say, I just got to act in faith. I've just got to do. But he's going to motivate you to do something and then see if you're going to take the light you get and put it in partner with the Holy Spirit on that candlestick and illuminate something that you might not want to see. You might not want to know at first what the Lord's going to show you about you that needs to change. The disciples were getting fair warning that there was a situation about to unfold. Why, Jesus knew. He was speaking a word of truth to them. He knew the enemy would come in the middle of them digesting this truth and try to steal it from them. He knew something was going to happen. So they go to the seashore in verse 22. The word of the Lord will always, should always, inspire us to act in faith. If it's a good word, it ought to stir some desire up in us, some plan to please God, some desire to do better, some way to set somebody free around us, some way to be a part of God's business in the earth. So the disciples had heard this warning, and I'm sure they're kind of thinking, oh, I wonder, are we in trouble here? But Jesus was warning them to take heed how they hear. He was telling them there was going to be a situation to overcome, and now they're going right into it. This morning, you may experience anointing. I believe you will. But the anointing will break the yoke. It won't take you to the cross of the lake. You've got to go yourself. You've still got to go through some paces. You've still got to take responsibility and do some things, but the power of God will meet you somewhere in the middle. Now it came to pass on a certain day that Jesus, and we know Jesus is that light, he's that light that comes into our life, that lights the candle, turns us on spiritually. Then when we're received with the Holy Spirit, he says, we're going to hook the power of God, we're going to elevate this person's station in life and cause their light to shine out. Now, light is shining out when the enemy is coming against you more than any other time. Darkness is still out there. But you become a greater force against it with the Holy Spirit in your life. Now it came to pass on a certain day that Jesus went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, so they're hearing something again, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. That doesn't sound profound. They did that pretty often. You read these guys, they were used to taking the boat across the lake. It was the shortcut to get to where they were going. And it felt good out on the water. It was a cool breeze. They could make a breeze essentially by moving across there and have a good time. So they thought they were doing something not really remarkable, but Jesus had just warned them, take heed how you hear. And he said, this is what we're doing. We're going across the lake. Big deal, right? Ever had your routine day turn into a really big deal and you did not see it coming? That's what's about to happen to them. Now, think about the launch. They just heard this kind of warning preaching from Jesus. They're a little bit wondering, oh, what's going to happen here? And he says, let's get on the boat. And they're kind of excited about that. Okay, this is our comfort zone. We're going to get on the boat. We're going to sail across the water. Jesus is going to do something cool or teach us something cool. We're going to have a great time. We're away from the crowd. We can relax. We can take our shoes off. We can relax on deck. Why? They weren't ministering. They were going across the water. Just a picture of a moment with Jesus. But Jesus had just told them, be careful how you hear. Because he was giving a divine instruction. There was something waiting on the other side of the water for Jesus to do. There was a devil had bound a young man over there. And they were going over there to set him free. Jesus knew where the boat was going. He knew what the Father's business was. But the disciples' business was to get across the water. To go across the water with Jesus. I don't think they knew what was coming. They would have said, why do we want to go over there? There's a demoniac over there. He chases people and cuts them up and kills them. Why do we want to go over there? But Jesus knew, and he didn't tell them everything. Don't expect he'll always tell you everything. And you might think you're going across the water to have a little cruise, and he knows he's sending you on a mission. And the mission has the devil involved in the other end. He needs somebody with power and authority to go over there and confront the devil. See, sometimes we get a little caught up too much in the pleasure, and God's got something on the other side of that pleasure he wants us to do for him. Now, he likes to mix business with pleasure. Now, they launched forth. Most of the time when we launch, we've just been inspired. This morning, you'll get some element of inspiration if you came to hear the word. You'll say, well, you know, pastor's trying to get me to do something. You betcha, I'm trying. You know, I'm putting it out there. But you know, the Holy Spirit is your helper. So he's got to get involved somewhere there. You need that candlestick. All right. You need that extra elevation in your life that God brings, that resurrection power that the Spirit of truth in you will bring to a situation. But they launch. I bet they started out singing, saying to each other, what'd you bring to eat? What'd you bring to drink? You know, this is going to be, isn't it pretty outside? Aren't we going to have a good time? I wonder what Jesus was talking about over there when he was getting us all kind of worked up. And, you know, why would he do that to us and then, you know, take a little cruise across the water? Why would Jesus do that? And they're going along, having a good time. Jesus decides to go take a sleep, take a rest. You know, he can't rest anymore for you and me. He doesn't sleep in heaven. Scripture says he never sleeps or slumbers, but while he was a man, his body had to rest, so his body's off resting. And they're all resting, having a good time. Then when the storm comes, they're upset with Jesus. Scripture says they had to go wake him up. They thought something was wrong with him. Why doesn't he care about us? He cares. He cares so much now he'll never sleep again. He's night and day concerned for us. He was then, but they didn't know it. He'd warned them, be careful how you hear. They hadn't been too careful. Why? The storm came. Jesus knew something would come every time they were on a mission. Be aware that God sees your life as a mission. He lets you mix pleasure in with it. But the fact that you're on a mission all the time for the Lord, the enemy will come against you. Now, the launch was with energy, optimism, enthusiasm. Before you go today, I hope all three of those things come on you like a wave. Say, boy, I feel inspired to believe God. I want to step out and do something I've not done before for the kingdom. I want God to multiply and grow my life to be an influence for him, because Jesus told him what it was all about. He said, I'm going to elevate the light in your life. Your life is going to be a light. Jesus' life is the light of men. If he's in you, he wants to do the same thing. Calls him the day star that will arise. What's that mean? Bring light to the world. Why? To drive away the darkness. That's why. Now, your faith will be always tested somewhere in the middle. You're not believing God if a test doesn't come in the middle. You're in your own strength. Now, some people would say, well, then I don't want to do anything with the Lord. Well, you won't accomplish anything significant then. Why? His power is meant to bring about our testimony. And he wants it to be obvious that he did it. We didn't do it. That it had to do with him. Now, but as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. And out in the middle, I'd think of it this way, not quite in the middle yet, a storm came. They got far enough out there that I believe that they were a little closer if they turned to go back than if they went on forward. The devil knows when to try to strike with trouble. He won't do it when you're just barely leaving the harbor. He'll wait till you get out there and you lose sight of the land behind you. But you can't yet see what lies before. That place I call a quandary. That place where you want to know something about navigation. You might want somebody in the boat with you that has gone across the water before. And they got out in that place, and I'm sure they were thinking, okay, this next few hours, these are the real important hours that we navigate and stay on course. So they've got their nose to the wind going across the water, and all of a sudden, things change. I don't know about you, but I know over and over again in our lives, we step out to obey God in a moment that it seems like it's a good time to launch. Things seem kind of calm. I mean, don't you go crank up the planter when there's a forecast for good for the day, or to beat the clock, or to beat the rain, or to beat. And then when the planting's done and the corn's committed to the ground, what are you going to do? You can't call it back today because it's kind of cold and wet. It's in there. So what do we do? We release our faith. That's just for the farmers. God's got this. I wouldn't be too worried about wet and cool right now. Talk to it. Talk to that crop. You're going to come up great. Good yield, good population. That's the word I'm after, population. All right, the farmers are saying amen. They know what that means. There came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water. Ooh, that's getting close to home, isn't it? And they were in jeopardy. They're in trouble. Did you know you'll get in trouble when you go out to obey God? You'll have some jeopardy. That should be a sign to you that you're stepping out to do something for the Lord and trouble comes out in the middle. Again, they got out there where they couldn't see land behind. They knew it was going to lie before. They were concerned. They were being swept off course by the circumstance. This might change things. But they hadn't said it yet that we know of. They ran to wake up Jesus. Jesus got up and I'm sure thought, why are you disturbing my rest? I've given you authority. Just a little while ago, he told them. The light on the candlestick, use it or lose it. They weren't using it. They wanted Jesus to do it for them. You ever been there? Jesus, just do this for me and I'll do anything for you. He's saying, don't say it that way. I've already done it for you. All right, now. Out there in the middle in all this turmoil, they forgot all about the smooth launch. They knew where they were going, but they were wrestling in this in-between place. Do we turn and go back? Or do we press on and go before? And again, the enemy will come at you most likely when you're about 40% out in the middle. And you know it's going to be a little further, a little harder, a little more demanding to go on through the storm than it is to go back. But you know when you go back, you have a setback. If you stay out there and you do what Jesus said to do, command the storm to cease, you're not going to lose time. You might even gain a little bit. And everybody else that was going to launch, that turned back, are left in your wake as you cross the lake. Now, you can decide what you want to do with that, but many Christians today miss out on the promise because they won't take the path God ordained. The path God ordained for you has resistance in it. You have to keep working through that resistance and recognize every time you stretch to obey God, there's going to be something rage against you. Some people call that spiritual warfare. I call that natural life. That's what this world is about. There's resistance. And they say, oh, the strong will make it through and the weak are going to get winnowed out. Well, Jesus is your strength. So don't be fooled into being winnowed out of anything. That's not God's plan for you. Now, they didn't turn back because they heard from Jesus. Now, your words, Jesus is about to teach them. Your words will cause you to prevail or not in that place. Their words were, "Master, we're going to perish. Master, do something." Jesus will act on your behalf there. He'll do what he can for you. But what he wants you to do is recognize what he's already done. Recognize Jesus had not risen from the dead yet in this picture. He was the anointing of God upon their life being with them. That same power now resides in you, the power of God in you. Now, and they came to him and woke him up saying, "Master, Master, we perish." And he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the sea. And they ceased and there was a calm. Now, I want you to learn something from this passage. The wind that came was sent by the enemy. There's a force that comes against you. Don't think bad things just happen to you. There is a warfare waged against your faith if you're a person of faith. Otherwise, there's a warfare waged against you to take you out. Faith keeps you from being taken out. That's what's unique about the Christian life. Our faith in Jesus puts him inside of our life. Where we're living and moving and having our being, Scripture says, are living through him being in us. And we act differently in situations. Instead of crumpling and falling apart like they were doing here, Jesus said, "Boys, this is what you do." And he commanded the situation to change. So, well, that was Jesus. Yeah, and he lives in you now. And he's been risen from the dead. You don't have to wait for an anointing to come upon you. You say, by faith, the anointing in me is going to stop this mess. Now, there's circumstances that result. The boys couldn't see the wind except where it hit their sails, except for the waves that it made, except for the spray that it blew in their face, except for the fear that it brought up out of their heart. There are circumstances that your eyes will see, that your ears will hear. Be careful to not be moved by those circumstances. Why? It isn't the wind itself. It's what the wind is doing to me. It's what the rain is doing to me. It's what the waves are doing shaking the boat. It's what the water's doing weighting down the boat. And it looks like there's no hope. This morning, in many ways, circumstances that have come against you or that show themselves to you are trying to get you off track. But there's something behind the circumstances. This morning, by faith you can receive, or through an anointing you can receive. And what's behind the circumstances will change. The spiritual forces have to yield. The winds and the waves obeyed him because the spirit that was causing it had to cease and desist. Sometimes we take authority over a situation by just speaking to the circumstances, and the circumstances don't want to change. Jesus was talking to the one behind the circumstances that was trying to stop them from their crossing right in the middle of his nap. Ever decided, "I'm just going to rest in the Lord," and then the wind starts to blow? Yeah. Now, Jesus here had to change what was being said so he could change what they would see. They wouldn't change what they were saying. So Jesus did. This morning, this word has that kind of power. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus is saying. Change what you're saying to things. Because the word in you is going to work. Why? God set you up to be his good testimony in the earth. You mix anointing with what God's saying, everybody around you is going to see the hand of God come on you to do something. And he wants that to happen. Not just for you, for everybody around you to see as well. See, the gospel we preach ought to happen because the hand of God's moving in our life, even if we don't know what we're doing with our mouth yet. But we start to talk about the outcome that we want in situations. As much as this world right now is in turmoil, I claim perfect peace. As much as the economy is flopping around and they're still saying this could happen and that could happen, I'm saying it ain't coming nigh me because I'm walking in the blessing of God. As much as my body might say, oh, I hurt this morning, I might say to my body, you're not going to control me this morning. I'm going to obey the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to get done everything I need to get done, and I'm going to do it to my best ability, whatever the limitation is. Always the enemy will come in the middle. I'll tell you something, a little secret. I'm real determined to come here and bring the word to you whenever I'm scheduled, which is a lot of the time. And if the enemy's going to come at me, he doesn't fight me on a Monday or a Tuesday. Now, Wednesday, he might come. I'm gonna preach the word. You know, on a Friday when I'm trying to study and prepare and talking to the Lord about the day, that's when all hell breaks loose. I don't like to study when all hell's breaking loose because I got to stop and deal with the devil. But I've learned stop and deal with the devil and bring the calm just like Jesus did here. Then if my body's going to have any kind of problem, it'll generally happen Friday night or Saturday morning or Sunday morning. Why? The devil will come when you're out there in the middle, when you know what you're supposed to do. You know what you want to bring. You know what you want to say. You know the outcome that you have in mind that God has ordained for your life. Then the enemy comes. Now, faith in Jesus has to become the faith of Jesus. This morning, as I'm talking to you, you can have faith in Jesus' name. Say, I believe in the Jesus pastor's preaching. That's faith in Jesus. You believe he can do it. But the faith of Jesus says, he's already done it for me. And I receive it. Scripture calls that the God kind of faith, or faith like God has, where he knows what he says is going to be. That's what he wants us to do. That's when it becomes faith of Jesus and not just faith in Jesus. That happens whenever the raging sea comes in the middle of your journey. That happens whenever resistance hits you. It's the moment of truth. Are you going to turn back? Are you going to sink? Or are you going to cross the water? Three options. Now, and he said unto them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Now, he just warned them. Remember, moments before they got on the boat, he was telling, be careful how you hear. You could say, and what you hear too. But how you hear means hearing what God is saying and deciding, I'm going to believe that above anything else happening. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered. Ooh. Don't you see the waves? Aren't you afraid, Jesus? And he's saying, where is your faith? I just told you there are going to be moments like this. Now, he didn't leave them there in a quandary, but he was driving it home to them that they should have been able to handle the situation. Did you know Jesus won't let you languish in a situation that you can't handle by faith? But some people won't. Some people get mad over saying things like that. But I'm here to tell you that when we get mad, we lose it. Yes. We'll turn back the ship or we'll let it sink. And then we'll say, it didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work because we don't do the spiritual work called taking authority, standing in our place. And they were saying to one another, what manner of man is this Jesus? For he commands even the winds and the water and they obey him. Fear releases spiritual forces. Fear is meant to change your faith perspective. Fear is the result of getting our eyes on circumstances and not using our mouth to change the source of the circumstances. And adding power even to the circumstances by acknowledging them. Saying, wind, wave, sea, storm, you seem to have more power over me than Jesus does right now. That's the mistake these guys made. That's why Jesus is saying, where is your faith? He was in the boat. That ought to have been enough for them. They'd sailed with Jesus before. This was not even the first storm they had encountered with Jesus on the boat. Jesus commanded the fish to go on one side of the boat so they could catch him. Jesus had done a lot of things in these boats with these guys in their everyday life. But they were struggling here. This fear comes to change your words and steal your faith. Fear can't do anything to you until you believe it over what God has said. Then it has permission to sink the ship. And in the middle of all of that, your logic will kick in and say, we're closer to where we came from than where we're going. Let's turn the boat. Oh, when you turn the boat in a raging sea and the waves are coming against you, your little boat is going to go. And it's going to take on water. And you're going to be clinging to a piece of wood trying to float across there. Ever had a moment like that? Everybody probably is, you know what that's like. Like, that was stupid of me to overreact. That's what we call it. When in reality, we are wrongly acting. We didn't overreact. We are acting the wrong way. We're supposed to say, no, this is where Jesus said to go. I'm going to keep going in that direction. And if anything, this wind is going to get to my back because I'm not going to be the one to give in. What was meant for harm is going to turn around for my good. And it's going to be an extra push to get to shore a little faster. And we either believe it, or we take a beating. Spiritual force. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes over against Galilee. They arrived. What happened? Jesus had to stop the situation. But you know when everything calmed? Ever experienced the clouds lift? Or last night, if you live around here, you were looking out the window saying, dear Lord Jesus, that's some wind. And you're pulling up the radar to see, does the red line have wiggles in it, or is it kind of straight? What does it look like? What are they saying? I had somebody approach me not from here this morning and say, wow, that was some kind of storm. I said, that's a spring thunderstorm. That was not as bad as it can, you know. No tornado was in there. It just was wind. But you know, that's enough, wasn't it? It's blowing things around. Tree branches laying everywhere in our town this morning. Not in our yard, though. Well, you get up and you command it to not destroy. You say, Pastor, does that always work? I believe it always works. Yeah. Now, that's just so you can speak life. Anyway, that's a little sideline. They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes. Now, I told you at the beginning of this story, you'd think when they'd get there, they'd have a party, wouldn't you? I'm sure that's what the boys wanted to do. Jesus was on a mission. Sometimes when we experience our deliverance, we think, woo, I've got it made now. Watch out. When God sends you on a mission, it may not be Jesus standing at the shore. I mean, he's in you. But there was a demoniac on the shore. They got on shore and the devil was there waiting for him in great power and demonstration. Now, they just experienced the deliverance of God to get him across the water. Should they have had a problem that the deliverance of God would set this man free and keep him from getting hurt? But see, they're still having to learn how they hear. This morning, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to minister to us, but I want to point to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, so that you know this is normal. This is normal Christian life I'm talking about, where you profess Jesus with your mouth and the devil comes to resist you. And then you profess him again with your mouth to keep him in his place and keep him at arm's length. Because you are learning how to take authority over what causes the circumstances to change. And you learn to not look at the circumstances, but say, I know who's behind this, and I'm putting a stop to it. Amen. Now, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, don't think it's people. It's not a people problem resisting you. But against powers and principalities. Against the rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. What does that mean? It means when Satan took over the lease on this world, he had dominion in an atmosphere to mess with things. Literally in this storm, the devil was coming against the disciples of Jesus because Jesus, the light, was going across the water. Jesus was with them, now he's in you. But Jesus had just told them, it's not enough for me to be in you. You've got to have anointing to go with it. He said, take the light and put it on a candlestick. Remember, that's what he told them right before this all happened. Take the power of God and say, I'm going to do this by faith. I'm going to do this with the power of God. I can't do this on my own. It isn't enough that I have Jesus in me. The boat is sinking. It isn't enough that Jesus is in me. I want to turn around and go back to safety. I'd just as soon sleep in my own bed tonight than go over there to the devil's territory anyway. I'd just as soon not have to deal with this. When we refuse to go God's route, we come into true jeopardy. But to get out, we say, I'm going to take what I'm hearing, and I'm going to let the anointing connect with my life right here. And if you can be in the middle right now, I know why he said to do this. If you're not out in the middle, to do anything for God, you're going to have to cross the middle. To do anything to experience his power in your life, you're going to have to choose a moment to launch. And I'm going to tell you, some of you this morning will say, well, that's me. I'm going to enjoy smooth sailing probably the rest of the day. But the enemy goes around seeking whom he may devour. And you got to make sure that you let him know you're not one of those that he can. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. I'm going to pray a blessing on you. We're going to close out a little differently. Our worship team's going to come back, and if at some point you need to go, you can go. It's okay. But we're just going to minister to the Lord a little bit, and then he's going to minister to us. And I saw this a little differently this morning. I'm going to sit down in that chair after we worship the Lord for a minute or two, and then I'm going to call some things out that the Lord spoke to me this morning. And if any of those situations apply to you, that means the Lord's calling you out to minister to you. He's going to prevent you from sinking in the middle somewhere. Sometimes when we've had a battle out in the middle, when we start to hit the middle again, we get fear coming against us. Many times in the middle of receiving healing from the Lord, fear will come. Out there in the middle where we haven't got the all clear yet. Many times out in the middle we'll feel inspired to give or do something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Maybe we give a special gift or we step out and witness to somebody that's been real hard in the past or resistant or mocked you. And you step out expecting everything to go wonderfully because you felt so inspired. And then there's a resistance. You get the cold shoulder. Or all of a sudden something breaks down. You think, I didn't expect that $500 bill. I wish I hadn't given that $400. Or whatever. That's the middle. That's out in the middle where you either decide to go back and work extra hard to make up the difference or believe God and say, no, he said do it. I'm going forward to my destination. And then when you get over there on the next shore, don't be afraid of the devil you'll encounter over there. Why, they were going across the water to possess the land is what they were doing. That's what's in it for the kingdom of God when we obey him. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you like we like to do every Sunday. And if you need to go, you can go. If you want to linger, we're going to call this the afterglow. Why? We just want the Holy Spirit to have opportunity to minister as he will. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in this house for your blessing, your anointing, your power, the truth of your word. Father, this morning, thank you that by faith we can receive the fullness of victory right now, no matter what we're in the middle of, no matter what we've launched out into. Father, if we heard from you, go to the other side, and we took a step to obey you, then we're on a mission for you. You've commissioned us to make a crossing. And we know when we get over there, there's something even higher in responsibility for us to do. We're just traveling over to the next phase, the next step of life. Father, so many here I perceive you want to take to a new level, a higher level. At the higher level, there's a different kind of devil. But Father, as we get over there, there's a victory that gets on us before we encounter that devil. That's what you meant for the disciples to experience, and they did out in the middle of the water when the storm came. They rose up and received by faith a miracle from you, Lord Jesus. This morning we receive our miracle by faith. In advance, knowing when we open our mouth and speak your word, what's behind the raging sea is going to calm right down in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that it's so. We thank you that it's true and we believe it. So we receive it and it's ours, mine, right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.